From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Nearly 300 homes in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley were damaged last month when a catastrophic glacial outburst flood hit the community for the second year in a row. As homeowners dry out and start making repairs, they're already imagining the flood's return next summer. Some are making investments to prepare their property for more water. But as KTOO's Anna Canny reports, the repairs are expensive, and it's hard to know what kind of flood mitigation will protect them. Sam and Amanda Hatch can't reach the knob on their front door. It's suspended in midair. While their children chase the ice cream truck through their neighborhood on Meander Way, the Hatches circle their home, which towers above all the others on the street.
Other people might be in a better position than us. Our house was really screwed up.
During last summer's glacial outburst flood, water filled the crawl space and saturated the silty land beneath the house until it was wiggly, like quicksand. The whole building sank back towards the river. The four corners drooped and the foundation folded down the middle.
We made this decision on either we intervene now or we basically wait for the house to break and walk away. And that's catastrophic financially.
Their Frankenstein house is that intervention. The original building with its light green siding now sits 4 feet off the ground. Beneath that, there's a brand new foundation. In August, this construction was put to the test with the arrival of another record-breaking glacial outburst flood. Even with the lift, high waters threatened to breach the Hatches' house. But they managed to stay dry while hundreds of others throughout the Mendenhall Valley took on water. With the promise of more glacial outburst floods to come, Juneau residents are looking into ways to mitigate flood risk and prepare their homes for the future. Sam Hatch says he's heard lots of people grappling with the same uncertainty he had last year.
What do I do? Do I just put it back the way that it was? What do I do?
It's hard for homeowners to figure out what will make these floods tolerable. Staying entirely dry might be difficult, if not impossible. But it's hard to make peace with letting the water in again. And both options are expensive. The Hatches decided to lift their house. But few contractors in the state do that kind of work, so they had to fly someone in from out of town. They took out some loans and opened up their retirement account to scrape together the money. $100,000 to fix their foundations, and another $150,000 for the lift. Sam said it was nerve-wracking to hand all that money over to the contractor.
Here's a check. Just can you wait 7 days to cash it?
Lisa Wallace says she just doesn't have that kind of money. The bottom floor of her two-story home a few blocks away filled with 2 feet of water this year, even though it had never flooded before.
To have this place that has been my safety and my security for all these years now be told, you're going to get a 500-year flood every year. It sucks.
She says this place was her dream home, with a freshly remodeled kitchen that's now gutted and a cozy living room that's now drying out with box fans. The whole place is dusted in glacial silt. She knows it could flood again, so she's preparing to live with the water. She's been researching construction materials that are used in the southeast United States, where things like hurricanes and sea level rise driven by human-caused climate change cause frequent floods. Wallace plans to outfit her first floor with special waterproof drywall and vinyl flooring to replace the hardwood she ripped out. And a lot of the things that made this place feel like home will not be replaced.
Why the heck would I buy new furniture? Why would I put my beautiful flooring back down? Why would I do that? No, we are going to do mitigation so when we flood again, it will not be as big of expense. It will not be so difficult to dry it out.
Many people who flooded this year never paid much attention to glacial outburst floods before, but Nico Buss did. The Mendenhall River runs right through his backyard on Meander Way, and when he first moved in, it was causing erosion on his property. Buss's efforts for flood mitigation are both a success story and a cautionary tale. Because decades ago, he made an investment of $25,000 to protect his home by armoring the riverbank. And when last year's catastrophic flood caused erosion that destroyed two houses, Buss made it out unscathed. But the nature of the flooding continues to evolve. This year, the reinforced banks held again, but it didn't matter. The water spilled over top of them and surged into Buss's home anyway. And though he's lived there for 4 decades, he says it isn't worth more money to protect it.
We're going to give it another year. If it floods again, then I'd be silly to stay here.
His neighbors, the Hatches, have now committed to their house for the long haul. Amanda Hatch says the investment to protect it made sense because with an enduring housing shortage in Juneau, they worry they'd have nowhere else to go. And they don't want to leave this community.
Is it worth it? Are we glad we did it? Absolutely, because I think the house would have been a loss. And Juno can't absorb a family of five, let alone 300 houses worth of families.
But she says there was no joy in being spared this year while they watched their neighbors flood. In Juno, I'm Anna Canny.
Advocates for a proposition set to appear on Juno's local ballot this fall say they want one day a week during the summer cruise season when there are no ships in port. And the proposition would do just that, if they can convince enough Juno voters to pass it.
What would we do if we had Saturdays? We would actually live our lives like we used to, or like we hope to. I used to be able to launch a kayak from downtown. I've got a sailboat. I could sail it in the harbor. I could actually maybe walk downtown and not wonder if I was going to get hit by a car.
That's Steve Kroll, a Juno resident who attended a forum at the Goldtown Theater last night where supporters of the proposition were invited to share why they would be voting yes. In front of a crowd of about 30 people, he and about a dozen other speakers shared their reasons, like overcrowding and environmental impacts. Carla Hart was an MC at the event. She's a longtime activist against tourism growth in Juno and has been at the forefront of getting the proposition, called Ship Free Saturdays, on the ballot.
Ship Free Saturdays will give us a relief. Every week we will have one day of a pause. We can breathe. We can do things in our homes without helicopter noise. We can go out in the community and not be deluded by all of the people who are here who aren't from here.
If passed by voters, the proposition would ban all cruise ships that carry 250 or more passengers from visiting Juno on Saturdays and on the 4th of July. Throughout this spring, supporters gathered over 2,300 signatures in favor of it, enough to get it on the ballot. The forum last night follows another forum hosted just last week, where representatives of a group against the proposition shared why they think it's bad for Juno and the local economy. Protect Juno's Future is largely made up of local business owners who work directly with the tourism industry. In 2021, the group's campaigning helped to quash another bill initiative led by Hart, seeking to limit cruise ships in Juno. McHugh Pierre is an executive member of the group and president and CEO of Goldbelt Incorporated, a local Alaska Native corporation that's invested millions in tourism.
This effort by a few of our neighbors, a very small group, to say they don't want people here is very damaging to us. And so this group, Protect Juno's Future, is specifically making sure this ballot initiative fails and that we continue to welcome business in our community.
And legal pressure is mounting against the initiative. Some local businesses and cruise ship companies have already threatened to sue the city if voters approve. Ballots for Juno's by-mail election will be mailed to residents on September 12th. Election Day is October 1st.